Good morning. Let's stand and let's worship.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaker. Ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run from things you know that just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. Somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain.
Well, good morning and welcome to the house of Eagles Way Church. Glad to see you. Oh, wow. Many of you got your picture taken this morning. If you missed it, you get a chance before you leave today. Those will be either texted to you or emailed to you. If you got your bulletin, there's lots of important information. Make sure you check out the Family Friend Day that will be coming up on May 19th. But I want to start this morning by reading John chapter 12, verse 44. It said, and Jesus said, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. Aren't you glad for Easter? Aren't you glad for the celebration of a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who has come to save us and not to judge us? So choose this day to worship him.
You gave body was broken, your love poured out. You bled and you died for me there on the cross. You breathed your last as you crucified. You gave it all. Thank you.
church, take your place at the table. By the King of the universe. You are a King of the heavens. And in your resurrection, our lives are redeemed. And we are resurrected with you. We get to take our place at your table this morning, God. This quote this morning, and it said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make dead people alive. You know, there's always something in my life that God is resurrecting when I'm allowing him to resurrect. Those things that can die in our lives, that you may lose hope for them being resurrected. He is a God who is consistently making all things new. Don't you love something new? Don't you just love, whether it's a new shirt, whether it's a new, when your marriage feels new, you know, he can resurrect what's dead in your marriage, the relationship with your child, the relationship with a family member. He's a God. Consistently seeks to make something new in your life. Seeks to make something new in life. Rushes after you to make that dead thing alive, to make something new. And there's always a price to be paid for something new, but let me tell you, it's worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. And my prayer today is that maybe just something breaks in you that you just start allowing God to resurrect that thing that you've been hopeless for, whether it is your health, whether it's relationship, whether it is something with your finances, whatever it is, he is a God of resurrection, the same power, the same power, the same power, the same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, allowed him to descend into hell and take every key to death, hell, and the grave and say, oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your Pastor Sting, the same power lives inside of you, lives inside of you, lives inside of you. Tap into that power inside of you right now and say, Father, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within me, and he is able to pour out, to revive, to renew, to renovate, to resurrect, to do that thing, to do that thing. New wine, new wine. May it pour out of you today. May it pour out of us today. May we wake up tomorrow and we don't wake up and we just think, oh, yesterday was good. Felt that. That felt good. You're going to wake up and you're going to feel that new wine pouring out of you. Body, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel that new wine pouring out of you, because he's a good God. He's a good God. Same power. Same power. Same power. It's worth the crushing. It's worth the breaking. It may hurt in the moment, but I'm telling you, when it pours, you say, it was worth it. It was worth it. It's always worth it. You don't go after the more without there being some crushing. Right, Jason? We talked about it this week. When you go after the more, and we're going after the more, church. We're going after the more, and it's worth it. Amen.
Make me a listener. surrender to the process. Jesus, we surrender to the process so that we can be rendered here at your throne. We surrender to the process, Father, so that we can be rendered here at your throne. When we say, make me your vessel, God, we mean make us your vessel, because we are armed and we are ready. We are ready for the more. We know that the process is painful. We know that the enemy is shooting every dart, every cannonball he can, trying to swing those chains around our ankles and trip us up and drag us down, Father. We are armed and we are ready, and we surrender to the process of reaching the more.
That's what he wants to do every day, is to bring new joy, new hope, new happiness, new love out of you. Isn't that good? No matter how old you are, he can still bring something new. Huh? I was thinking this morning, I think I was 8 years old when my mother and father gave their hearts to Christ at Faith Baptist Church on McIntosh Road. I'm so glad they did. So that makes this is my 60th time to be in an Easter service, 60 years in a row of never missing an Easter service because of them. And it's my 43rd message in a row to preach on an Easter Sunday morning. So I thought, What are you going to say after 43 years on Easter Sunday morning? I mean, haven't we heard it all? Haven't we heard about Jesus on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension? But what I want to share with you today is three things I want to share with you. Number one, what did he come to do? But the main thing I want to share with you is, what is he doing now? Because what he's doing now is of utmost importance to us. His crucifixion was needed, his resurrection was needed, but what he's doing now is what it's all about. Say, what is he doing now? What's he doing now? And then, what is my response to what he did, to what he's doing? Now, what do I need to be doing? Amen? But I want to pray before we get started. Father, I pray for people today that are homesick, those with the flu, with pneumonia. I ask you to touch their bodies. I pray for David Gamble and his brother Shannon that's in hospice care right now, and he's there tending to him. Thank you for the hope of the resurrection that we have. Thank you, God, that in our time of grief, you're there. In our time of sorrow, you're there. In our time of hope, you're there. And we just commit this day to you. And Lord, give us words to say that will bring passion and power and purpose to all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Why did he come? Let me tell you why Jesus came. I've said this many times, but I want to start it off with it. He did not come to change the mind of God about humanity, but rather to change the mind of humanity about God. God's mind never has been different than it always has been. God's always been a God of love, mercy, loving kindness. Men turned him into something that he wasn't. There's not a God of the old covenant and a God of the new covenant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. We just had a misunderstanding of who God was, and we had him as this judging God who wants to throw down lightnings from heaven, and he's always watching over you, making sure that you do the right thing, right? Kind of turned him into a Santa Claus. Better be good. If you're not good, you won't get anything good. How many know that doesn't work except on Christmas Eve? That only works Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, you can say to your child, you better be good, and they'll be good for that one evening. It'll work for one evening, but you start in January, it's not going to work. You can tell them to be good all of January, February, March, April, you want to, and leading up to December. If you'll just be good for these 11 and a half months, everything's really going to turn out well on Christmas Eve for you. It won't work. That never has worked and never will work. The strength of sin is the law, and Jesus came to break that strength. All right, I've already preached. We could just go home right there, but we're not. In Isaiah chapter 53, he says, who has believed our message? I like what King James says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Say, the arm of the Lord. With his hands he created the world. With his fingers he cast out demons. But with his arm, the strongest of his being, he saved us. The greatest exertion of power there is changing somebody's mind. You think about it. Yeah. To change a Democrat to be a Republican. To change a Republican to become a Democrat would take the greatest exertion of power that you could possibly exert. Right? Yeah, I'll say it. For President Trump not to tweet what he's thinking would be the greatest power of exertion on the face of the earth, right? And I'm not condemning our president. I pray for our president. But changing somebody's mind is the most powerful thing on the planet. It takes the arm of the Lord to change someone's mind. If you don't believe that, try to change your wife's mind. It will take the greatest exertion of power on the face of the earth to change her mind, or to change your mind. It will take the greatest exertion of power on the earth to change what somebody thinks, what somebody believes. It takes a tremendous exertion of power. And he said, who has believed my report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord, who has believed this report? You've got to believe it first. And he says, if you'll believe it, it can change you. It can not only change you once, change you over and over and over and over again. How many know he's not only powerful, he's smart. He's smart. He said, well, I know he's all powerful. See, everybody believes in his power, but not everybody believes he's smart. Because we don't live like he's smart. If everybody really believed God was smart, how many know they would do exactly what he says? If you really believe somebody's smart, you will listen to what they're saying, right? Come on now, won't you? Well, let me tell you something. He's not only powerful, he's smart. See, when I was in school, the strong boys were not smart. I'm sorry, but they really weren't smart. They were strong, but they weren't smart. Nobody, you know, jocks just weren't smart. How many know that? They just weren't that smart. But God is not only a jock. Now, he's not only strong, he is smart. And he says, who's believed this report? To whom my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him, talking about him on the cross. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And he thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away, but we've all left his paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. Aren't you glad that he came? Aren't you glad that he came to change us? I was going this way and I turned around and started going this. I used to think like this. Because see, one thing that's changed over all these years of pastoring has been my mind and thoughts about who God is. And see, I want to tell you what he's doing now. How many want to know what is he doing right now? The Bible says he's sitting next to the right hand of the Father, ever making intercessions for you and I. Every single moment of every single day, he's next to the Father as your advocate, as your lawyer, defending you every single second of the day. Defending you. Defending us. And he's our high priest. And number one, he is our joyful high priest. Say joyful. He says in Hebrews 1:9, you love justice, you hate evil. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Man, when I first found out that God was a loving, kind, gracious, joyful, happy God. See, when I first started the ministry, I was raised in a denomination that back then, they've changed a lot since then, but when I was raised, you didn't smile much. You definitely didn't laugh a lot. You had to be serious. Serious. Real serious. I remember coming home one day from the office, and I walked in the door, and Barbara said, Dusty, Pastor Buren's here. Straighten up. That wasn't a compliment. She wasn't building me up. She was actually giving me a backhanded compliment. Don't be so serious here, okay? And I started changing my thoughts a little bit back then. Maybe I need to smile more at home. Maybe I'd be a little more happy. Because I was always a happy fella until I got saved. And all of a sudden, people try. How many know there are joy killers out there? They will kill you. They will get your joy like that in a moment. I remember a guy that got, he was a rascal. He was really, really a rascal. And he got born again, and he was so happy. And one day I watched a guy, and he was just stripping him of his joy. He was saying to him, his name was Billy. He said, Billy, it's not always going to be like that. You're not always going to be this happy. And I was sitting there looking, going, and this was another believer telling this new believer, you don't stay happy. And he was just draining. He was just, he was like, and I walked up to him and just slapped the devil right out of him. I said, get it together, dude. It's always going to be like this. Don't let somebody take your joy from you. Don't let somebody rob you of your happiness. God wants you joyful because the oil of joy has been poured out on him more than anybody else. Jesus loves you. And if he loves you, he wants you happy. How many want your kids happy? Had Nellie's first birthday yesterday, right? Did y'all want her happy or not? Sure you did. That's why you got all them presents. Want her happy? You want somebody happy? Give them something. That's all you got to do. Make somebody joyful. Just give them something. It'll make them happy. You want me happy? Whatever. He's joyful. Say, he's my joyful high priest. Don't go to a priest that's mad. Man. How many would like to walk in your pastor's office and he's really mad? No. And don't walk to some... Anyway. He is our joyful... Say joyful high priest. He is my merciful high priest. Says in Hebrews, we all know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Say merciful. Merciful high priest and faithful. Grace is not mercy, and mercy is not grace. Don't get them confused. Grace is God's favor upon you. Grace is God's power within you. Mercy is what you need when, because you know you're wrong. You know you need God's mercy. And I'm glad he's not only merciful, he's faithful. Say, let me tell you what I love about God, this high priest being faithful. He's faithful to me when I'm not faithful to him. He's always faithful. Man's covenant's like this. Let's shake hands and make a promise to one another. Let's sign a contract. And as long as you live up to your end and I live up to my end, everything's cool, right? Right? See, marriage covenant's kind of that way. No, it's not. When you really make the covenant, most of the vows are, I will do this. It doesn't say, if you do this. Right? Who's getting married soon? I saw that. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray for them right now. See, when you make a covenant, it's not going to be based upon what the other person's going to do. But if you're not careful, you'll enter into that lifestyle. I'll do this if you do this. I'll be faithful as long as you be unfaithful to me. I'll be unfaithful to you. You do me wrong, I do you wrong. You slap me, I slap you. You curse me, I curse you. That's not the love that Jesus, our high priest, has. He's faithful when we're not faithful. Can I set a record straight about the United States of America? It will never, ever be judged by God. Will you please not believe those posts? America is going to be judged by God if they don't change. He is faithful when we're not faithful. He will never, ever. Jesus was the whipping post. The judgment of God was on him and as always has been and always will be. And he will never, ever judge any nation because he's a loving, kind, gracious Heavenly Father that's not into beating up kids. He is not an abusive Father in heaven. He is a loving, kind, gracious, loving person being who loves the universe and everything and everybody in it. Is that all right? Is that just straight? Can you get that and leave here from that? He will never, ever judge America. He'll never judge Japan, Korea, any. He doesn't do that. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. He's a kind, gracious, loving. He loves Democrats. He loves Republicans. Yeah. Matter of fact, he's not for either one of them. Got his own kingdom, that's right. You don't vote him in, you don't vote him out. You don't even vote. You just accept who he is. I'm glad he's faithful. You can't ever let that slip from you. He's a faithful God. Even when we're not faithful, he's faithful. And he's not into getting you back. He doesn't get you back. He's got your back. He's got your back. He's loving. He's a faithful, merciful high priest. And then he's a rightful, say rightful. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him to be our high priest. You see, the priests of the old covenant were born priests. You were born into the family. You were born a Levite. You were born into the priesthood. They didn't earn it. They didn't have to do anything to earn that priesthood. It was given to them according to their birth. Jesus earned it. Mary wasn't in the priesthood. Joseph wasn't in the priesthood. He wasn't raised in the priesthood, but he got the highest priesthood of all, the great high priest, because he earned it. He earned it. He is the rightful owner of the high priest position, and nobody else can have it. Hallelujah. You know, once a year in the old covenant, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and they tied a rope around his ankle, and he would go in, and they were outside waiting to see if he was going to come out and raise up his hands and say that he accepted the sacrifice. And because they put the rope around him, just in case he don't accept the sacrifice and he dies, we're going to drag him out. And you know what? They never dragged one priest out. Every single time of every year that high, earthly high priest went into the Holy of Holies, God accepted the sacrifice. You know why? Because they were a type and a symbol of the one great high priest that would always be accepted. He is our rightful high priest. And last but not least, he's our hopeful one, and he's our eternal one. He says, therefore, we have fled to him for refuge. We can have great confidence as we hold this hope before us. This hope is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us, and he has become our eternal high priest. That's the high priest that we have today. He gives us hope. And it's forever. It's not for a year. It's not for a month. It's for eternity that he has done this for us. For us. As the band's coming, what did he come to do? Take the iniquity of all of our sins. Not just our sins, sins of the whole wide world. Past, present, future. That's what he came to do. What's he doing now? He's next to the Father, making intercessions for us, never condemning us, never bringing accusations against us, always interceding, always, never saying anything bad about you, always there to be your advocate, and to be able to say at every moment of every day, you're blessed, you're favored, you're forgiven, you're accepted, you're loved. Now, what's my response to that? How am I going to respond personally? I want to tell you, and this is my response, okay? If this suits you, you can have it. This is mine and Barbara's response to this great high priest. In 1974, we made a decision sitting around a kitchen table that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness all the days of our life. That he would be first all of our lives. Does that mean that everything in our life has been hunky-dory and all the, it's just been one victorious thing? No. We've had our struggles, we had our battles, but we wouldn't have been victorious had it not been for him. Had we been through some rough waters? Oh, yeah. Some really rough waters. But we came through them. Wouldn't have never come through them without him. Never made it without him. Never, ever made it without him. So this is our response to him. We give him three things. We give him the first day of the week. Because I don't know about you, but every Sunday morning, sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. I know none of you ever need an attitude adjustment. I know that. But every now and then, I need one. And Sunday morning's my attitude adjustment day. You see, you think I'm preaching to you? Oh, my goodness gracious, no. I'm just preaching to whomever hears. He that hath ears, let him hear, because it's coming right around to me every single moment of every day and every week, too. I'm preaching to me. I need an attitude adjustment. So I give him the first day of the week. That mean you got to be here every Sunday? No, but you need to be here more than you are. Anyway. So, and you can join us on Facebook, and that's great. You can go on the internet. However you do it, if you're not going to be here, go online and get it. You need an attitude adjustment. You need a realignment. And that's what, see, God's smart. Say, God's smart. He's smart. And he can help you get through life. He really can. So we give him the first day of the week. We gave him our first fruits. We write out a check every week. First thing that we do, first thing that we give to is him. We give 10% because we believe in that. You may not believe in giving 10%. Give something. Just designate something to him. Give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. And then we make him the first consideration of all our decisions. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. That's been my response, our response to this great high priest who came and did something for me that nobody else could ever do or would do, be willing to do. He's the only one who could die for the sins of the whole universe. He's the only person who could physically give his life and it work for the universe. Because of this, I could die for you. I could physically give my life for you in a moment. But if I did, I didn't give my life for my wife. I didn't give it for my children, my grandchildren. He's the only one that could give his life for all of creation. Don't you think he deserves then all of that? He deserves my... See, the Sabbath was a Saturday, and it was the day of rest for the children of Israel. In the new covenant, it came to the first day of the week. Sunday became the first day of the week. And that's the day of our rest. See, I left out, I was thought about it this morning, and I didn't put it in the notes because I'd already given them. But in Hebrews chapter 3, he's our restful high priest. Say restful. He never stresses. He's never been stressed out. Never. He's always at rest. And that's why you can always come to him, because he ain't burned out. There have been times in my life when I was burned out. Anybody ever been burned out? Anybody ever been stressed out? three of you have been stressed out. Have you ever been stressed out? Come on. Yeah, he has never, ever been stressed out. So I can come to him at any time and find rest for my soul, because he's always restful, always at peace. Man, that's who I want to go to. That's who I want to go to. Because I can rest in. I want you to stand with me. I want to ask you to do something. And I don't ask this very often. So can Pastor Beard get a little serious with you for a moment? Yes. All right, when I say this, I mean this. All right? I mean, you've heard it. You go to the Baptist church, you're going to hear it every Sunday morning. Everybody bow their head and everybody close their eyes and nobody looking but me and God. You ever heard that? All right. I'm saying it right now. And Beard means it. Everybody bow their head and close their eyes. Nobody looking but me and God. If anybody looks, you're going to get thump on the back of your ear. It's what I want you to do. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I kind of hear what you're saying, Vera, and I believe that if I would do those three things, I give him the first day of the week, a first fruit offering to him, and the first consideration of my decisions in life, my life would be so much better. If you would like to make that commitment, you can open your eyes and you can look at me for a moment and hold your hand up until I acknowledge you. And once I acknowledge you, then you can bow your head. But you're here and you say, I would like to make that commitment today. Just lift up your hand. God bless you. I see you. Just lift up your hand and look at me and say, I want to make that commitment today. God bless you. See you in the back. I see you over here. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm making that decision today. Today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Most of you have made that decision. And that's why you're blessed today. And that's why where you are today is because of that. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Shared last week, you can look at me, about the day of visitation when Jesus, in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he said, oh man, you missed your day of visitation. You missed your moment. You missed your moment. And you never want to miss those moments, because once those moments go, they never come back. They never, ever come back. You have the most loving, kind, gracious. Christianity is the greatest religion in the world. It's the greatest religion in the world. It's filled with such faith and hope and love. I cherish my Christian faith because of what Christ has done for me. Not just what he did 2,000 years ago, what he does for me on a daily basis, what the Spirit of Christ in me does. You see, being born again, all it is going to your most innermost being and living from there. Bypassing your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, going to the core of your being, because in the core of your being is the Spirit. You came from God, you returned to God. In the core of your being, your innermost being. And that's why he said, you'll draw joy out of the wells of salvation. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. It's a well. Flow rivers of living water out of this well. Deep inside you, there's this artesian spiritual well of goodness that you can draw from on a continual basis. So, Father, I thank you for every person here that has made that decision years and years ago. Lord, they've lived that life and you've blessed them. And we want to take this Easter Sunday and just say thank you for all of the years of resurrection, all the years and the weeks, the days that you've resurrected things in our life that had gone dormant or had died, and you brought it back to life again. Thank you for the ongoing process that is. Thank you, God. Thank you. As we reflect over the next few minutes, as we listen to these two songs, would you do this? Would this Sunday be a Sunday that you reflect for and just thank God for all the years of His goodness, all the years, all the things He's brought you through, all the times you were down and He lifted you up, all the times that He was faithful. Even when we're not faithful, He's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is so faithful.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal, from seed to sequoia.
Take your time.
ushers will be coming. We're going to receive tithes and offerings. Thank you for your faithfulness. We will sing this song as we receive the offerings, and as we sing it, just let the words "you are good" echo. Let the words "you are good" echo throughout the rest of the day. Can we do that? We're going to have a good day when we leave. A good day this morning coming in. Good day leaving out, because we're going to just echo the songs, echo the lyrics of "you are good."
You're my
have a wonderful, wonderful day.